to summer.
Well, it's just gone 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. Residents of the Boerkaap want the Western Cape High Court to review the City of Cape Town's sale of land earmarked for the controversial development in this historic neighbourhood. Today, Judge Elizabeth Bartman heard an interdict application which block developers had lodged to stop the community from protesting against the development in Lion Street. But the Boerkaap Civic and Ratepayers Association indicated that they wanted to ask the court to set aside the sale of the property instead. They have been added as a respondent to the application. Block's interdict application has been postponed to February the 25th. But yesterday, the Minister of Arts, Culture, Mr. Natim Tetwa announced that the process to have the Boerkaap declared a national heritage site will begin in the early new year. The minister said after the Boerkaap had been declared a national heritage site, UNESCO will be asked to declare it a world heritage site. Well, these are all interesting developments as this battle against gentrification takes place. Joining me now on the line to make sense of the recent developments is Usman Shabuddin. He is the chairperson of the Boerkaap Civic Association. Mr. Shabuddin, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Well, good evening. Nice to be here. Nice.
Mr. Shabuddin, just quickly, the intervention by the Minister of Arts and Culture to have the Boerkaap declared a national heritage site, it will automatically put a halt to some of these developments, won't it?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I want to say is it's a breath of fresh air. Purely because we've been at it for many, many years, not even months, many, many years.
Yes.
And I think the challenges that we faced was we were up against a brick wall, purely because the people that could have declared it a not only a heritage site, but people that could have given it protection from a heritage overlay zone was definitely not interested and wanted only the developments to take place that's what we see now.
Yeah.
So with the minister coming along and pushing and lending some weight to the fact that Boerkaap should be declared a national heritage site,
yes,
it's a definitely a step in the right direction.
But in the meantime, the battle with the developers are, of course, very, very real. I mean, you have been tear gassed, you've been having a mass iftars, you've been having demonstrations, but you haven't been able to stop the developers moving in. I mean, I originally come from Salt River. I went to Salt River High. I know the whole area very well. I was there recently, and I was astounded. I didn't recognize half of the place. And of course, the Boerkaap has an even older history. What is the key issue that you are taking, issue with or that you have a problem with in the way in which the city is allowing developers to just come in?
Yeah, I think the first thing that we basically are very, very, very angry about is the question of the type of development that the city have allowed in. We know that we're not against development. Development sometimes we need. But the type of development that the city have allowed in is this mass densified development where developers actually make maximum profits out of. And what's sad about it, that it is done in an area where people can't afford homes. It's like water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. And the challenge that we all sit as residents of Boerkaap, you have all these flats going up, but nobody can afford it. So you find this added gentrification coming into the area, and also it pushes up our rates. It pushes up our cost of living in Boerkaap. And also it congested our roads. It impinges on our heritage. We find already people are complaining about the noise factor in Boerkaap. Nobody, I mean, you come from Salt River. Salt River is also never quiet. You always find a neighbor popping in. You always find a noise in the street. The people play in the street. The people do whatever they want to do. The clock serves no alehan. So it's not a question that you now automatically now have to tell everybody, shut up, I have moved to their own. And I think that is the challenges that we're facing with new developments. That they don't tell the people.
Yes.
In
terms of the pushing up of the rates and, of course, the fact that so many people actually own homes, but they simply can't afford the rates. People think that it is a deliberate strategy on the part of the city to force people to sell their homes. How many people in the Boer Kop area have been placed in this invidious position where they are desperate to stay, but they simply can't afford it, and people are just selling under pressure?
I would say about 3/4 of Boer Kop was always classified as economical, you know, working class.
Yes.
And these are the same people that are suffering under this yoke of high rates, high costs, and things like that. And you're quite correct. You know, it's a deliberate attempt by the city council to have held up our heritage protection overlay zone. And that is not what I'm saying. That's what the report of the Bowman's report says.
Yes.
When they investigated that the Patricia Good for Nothing, that basically held up it. The challenge that we had is now. What do we do now? And that is why we're reviewing some of the sales that has taken place over the last 2 years, like the sales of the Monica's Homes, the sales of the development, which was sold from the city without public process, and from a public facility to a private facility, skirting the whole process of public participation, and they want us to believe it was a legitimate sale.
Now, there's some reports that suggest that the 2013 Sub-Council 16 call for the Boer Kop to be declared a heritage protection overlay zone. In 2015, proposals from the Boer Kop Civic Association, together with the city's Environmental Resource Management Department, followed, saying that the HBOZ should assist with the preservation of the cultural heritage of the Boer Kop. But then it says, according to a forensic report by law firm Bowman's, which was adopted by the City Council at a dramatic council meeting in October, former Cape Town Mayor Patricia de Lille allegedly blocked it. And in early December, de Lille's successor, Dan Plato, announced that the city would proceed with the process to have the Boer Kop declared an HBOZ. Patricia, on the other hand, says that she's always been fighting for working class communities to be close to the city, to live where they've always lived, and to make the city a lot more integrated from an economic point of view. How has the battle that has happened in the DA in the city affected the strategies of the Boer Kop Civic Association,
just basically, the question is, we also have another kingpin there called Brett Heron, who spoke the beans at that site that the salt block
was
earmarked for social housing. And there's certain documents that is missing within the folder of the sale of that land. The challenge that you have, all these has-beens that could do nothing for us. I mean, they've been there for 10 years. They haven't been there for 1 year. In the dying kicks of a donkey, they want to show social housing as being their preference, but delivered nothing. You know, my challenge to all these politicians is that that's definitely they should be fired. But our challenge is to work up the mess that is left behind by these people. Is real, you know, and it's us in the future generation that have inherited this type of mess that they left behind. And I think the challenge forward is how do we deal with it? And I think that's where we are at this moment in time. How do we deal with it? That's why we thought that the court process is probably the one way to go. It's a very expensive process, but it's a one way to go to clear up the air. And once the court decides that there's no hanky-panky to play and nobody can be charged or whatever the case may be, we will then have to reassess and move on. You know, But we cannot allow our heritage to go down the drain. We cannot allow our culture, our very people, because we have a living heritage.
Mm.
You don't have buildings with mortar and brick only. You know, also we still around. We're a tourist or a place. It's our home. You know, and this is how strong we feel about it.
For people of Gauteng and for 702 landers living in Gauteng, sketch for us what that cultural heritage of Boerkop means. I mean, I have memories as a child of, you know, sitting on a stoop waiting, for the various teams to come and sing and entertain the communities. People had activities. Like you say, there were always kids in the streets. It is a very colorful place. And, of course, it is a place where, the origins of the place is a place for those who were freed slaves. They were those people who were brought in as political prisoners of the Dutch from, you know, East Indian countries. And a whole community developed there. I mean, some of the oldest mosques are built there. There are holy sites of important individuals that are there. Sketch for people what the cultural value for you as residents of the Boerkop is.
I can only add what you said. It's that type of warmth that when you speak about it, you get a warm feeling of, I don't think people in Gauteng actually know what it is. If I look at some of these gated societies that they are built all over the place, we don't even have, some of our houses still don't even have burglar bars.
Mm.
We don't have walls around our stoop. The stoop is the pavement.
Mm.
So you have to walk on the person's stoop, you walk past his front door. And the challenge here is the stoop is also the vision to the road,
yes.
You know, the neighbor.
And checking the kids playing in the street.
Yeah, they were telling exactly who's at home and who's not at home before you even knock on the door. You know, it's that type of environment. That is sometimes, it's a very warm environment. It's sometimes very much in your face. And that's why I always caution people that when you want to buy in places like Boerkop, you must remember Boerkop is a very, very noisy place.
Mm.
You know, and for we might be close to the city, but there is no difference. You know, it stops there.
Mm.
The community stops there. Within the city itself, it's a totally different environment. You know, that is what makes Boerkop the jewel in the crown of Cape Town.
Mr. Shabalin, a final question to you. Yes. Given that the National Arts Minister has now said that the process of declaring the Boerkop be declared a heritage site will start in earnest next year, what is the next step forward for the Boerkop Residents Association?
I think for the first thing that we need to do, without a doubt, is take up the challenges of to assist the National Minister of declaring it a national heritage site. I don't think we can let that chance fall.
Mm.
And the second thing is to help the present mayor, Dan Plato, of declaring Boerkop the HBOZ across that.
Mm.
So we have a task to perform, and we do it with urgency. So we're going to hold both of them accountable in the future of what we're going to do in the present. So, but I think, you know, we're living in exciting times. And I'm quite glad that thank you for your station, but actually giving us the opportunity of hearing some of the frustrations that we had.
No, absolutely, Mr. Shabalin, thank you very much for coming on. Gentrification is, of course, not a uniquely South African phenomenon. We see it everywhere, working class people being displaced, trendy hipster places coming up, and the original citizens of the place and original people who grew up there and who have family there being forced out of their areas. That was, of course, the chairperson of the Boerkop Civic Association, Mr. Usman Shabalin. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be introducing you to the new head of the Development Bank of Southern Africa.